down again where we were tried last time. So we got a little bit stuck in the toes. And we were at, I think it was Lamed Gimel, was it? Or Lamed Aleph?
34, right? 34,
yeah. 34, Lamed Aleph. Yes, we'll see that again. Among other things, the pain in the rock. So, talking about still breaking a tie with Hashem, breaking your physical desires, getting near the end of that now. So, you start in the carries on like this. Among other things, the pain in the rock. Call me Shish, we shall each meet each other. He brings the mission of this famous Mishnah. Someone who has these three middles, they are Tamidov, Shah of Ramavino. And they are Ayin Teva. Ruach Nemucha of an Efesh Shvara. So as we said, it's from his Mishnah, Ayin Teva, I think we all know what that is. Ayin Teva. Okay. Ruach Nemucha, spoken about that a lot in the past, humble. Nefesh Shvara, what's that? That sort of seems to be normally understood as some sort of another humble. So when Yenna comes to this new pshat here, Nefesh Shvara. In Yenna, Nefesh Shvara, She'ini Hoylech Acha Tava Gashmis, Gamidwarim Choyim. This point we've been talking about the whole time, yeah, not being led by your desires, the physical desires. That is what the Mishnah means, nefesh follow. Okay, new pshat. And Avraham Avinu had these three midos. Ayin Teva, he was Ruach Nemucha, he was nefesh follow. He didn't go, he wasn't led by his desires. He controlled his desires. How do we know? Where do we see that Avraham Avinu wasn't dictated to by his desires? He broke his tithes. Why do we see that in Avraham Avinu? So the first thing Kedah. Okay, so that's you're calling that a Tava Gashmi. Okay, it's true that he overcame his natural inclinations, it's true. But I think when we're talking about here the Tavis more, as in, you know, Tavis and desires, that's, I think that's a slightly different point. So he brings it right, it's not the first thing that comes to mind, and he explains why we see that. That fellow is now going down to Shaim, and he says, oh, all of a sudden he says, oh, now I see. You mean now you see? You didn't know before. So Chazal say, no, lo yinistachil bo ad hayim mahu lehisbeinin of chodat yofyo. And we explained last time, the Lashon of Ben Yonah seems to be saying, it doesn't mean he didn't look at her. He didn't see her. He obviously seen her. He didn't gaze at her. Or he didn't look at her. Lehisbeinin of chodat yofyo, in order to think about, right? Histaklos, we call histaklos is looking in order to have her, no, just looking, just to enjoy looking at her. That he didn't do. Okay, so why did he do that? So again, we said some people would understand this idea of Shmi Asenayim. Yes, obviously, as we said, it's a very kosher Indian. But the way Rabbi Yehuda is saying it, it's not necessarily Shmi Asenayim as in the Yisrael Mishnah and called Avagor. It's part of the more wider issue of Shmiras Atay Vagashmis, right? The same way as we had before, the same way as he spoke about not going after the tithes of food and things like that. So it's all in that same general idea. Yeah. So, okay, I don't know if we're going to go into it again this time. Seems, yeah, that's good. That looking, it's just looking at Saul, looking at the wife, just for no other purpose, just for his own pleasure, that's something, end of the day, that's called going after your tithes. Right? So last time we had some problems understanding what's so bad about that. Okay, end of the day, we have to call a spade a spade. Though we're all human beings, and all that's all part of our lives. But in reality, let's not make that more important than it is. That's not the be-all and end-all of the marriage. There's not just following your own tithes and your own desires. Just understand, just doing things for no other reason, just for your own pleasure, that's something which, if you can be above that, that's better. So, Al Kaponim, Avraham Avinu didn't see the need to do that. And he didn't do that, so that's called a nefesh shvara.
That falls under the general category of the obvious of limiting your pleasure. Everything limited. So you bound it, you bound everything.
Yeah.
So it's a catch-all in the obvious. On everything. Your appetite, anything.
Right, yeah, so I say this is, I mean, we don't find an example of that with Avraham Avinu with his appetite, but
Here we see it. That's where we see it like upon him. And probably he behaved that way with in other things as well, right? Yeah. Tsunami. Yeah. Okay, so just 2 points I want to say. Some first interesting thing comes out. According to Rabbi Yonah, the way he's explaining his Nefesh Shvala, it comes out these three things, I think, correspond very nicely to the Kinah, Tava, and Kovod. Ayin Tova is the opposite of Kinah, right? Looking at people nicely, not wanting other people have. Ruach Namucha is the opposite of Kovod. The way he's saying Nefesh Shvala, that's exactly the opposite of Tava. So it's interesting, kind of these three things of Tamil Shalom Avinu, of Ayin Tehu, of Ruach, and Nefesh Shvala seem to correspond to those three according to Ben Yehuda.
What interesting Ayin Tehu also had that connotation of generosity.
So I actually looked up there in August how Ben Yehuda there explains Mishnah, but he doesn't say anything on any of them, so it didn't help me at all. Okay. Why is called Nefesh Shvala? This idea of not going after your desires is called Nefesh Shvala. So I'm not exactly sure. We spoke the other time, last week or the week before, he said in himself in Mishnah he says, you know, that he say Ruach Namucha, the Ruach is involved in the lave, and a Nefesh is seated in the Kovod. The Nefesh seems to be, he said there, he said before himself over here, right? We're talking about going after desires, or about the lave, the heart. He said the heart is the seat of their desires. That's where the taivas are, the sunnah in the lave. Right? And breaking your desires is like, it's considered breaking your heart. So now he's saying Nefesh Shvala. So I'm not sure why the Nefesh Shvala.
Nefesh is the lowest level.
So Nefesh is the lowest level. Three.
Yeah. So that's the most earthly level. And that's
right.
That's the implementation part.
Right. So on one hand, that's true. So that yeah, the Nefesh is normally the Kovod. That's day-to-day living. We speak about Sekhonos Nefeshos and things like that. So Shemaz and Nefesh Seichem. The Nefesh that of Sekhem says is, if you think about it, even a human being, all the physical activities we do, we walk and we breathe, it also comes from some sort of spiritual koyach. A dead person hasn't got any of that, just a piece of meat. Right? You have to have some sort of life in you to be able to do all these physical activities. So the part of the neshama which gives life to the body and allows it to act in this world, this physicality, that's called the nefesh. Looking after your life, not endangering yourself, is called shmatam oyla nafshei seichem. Right? The nefesh is what keeps the lowest part of the guf, which is the physical thing. Right? That's the very lowest, and that's what we said. They say that seems to be involved in the kovod, the liver, which seems to somehow symbolize the very physical, the physicality of the person. Said before that the taivas are rooted in the lev, where the ruach is. So how does that fit together here? Perhaps we could say, the way Chaim Lodron says in the Nefesh Chaim, there's these three levels of the neshama. The lowest is the nefesh, ruach, and then the neshama is the highest. And they all affect each other. Like the nefesh is pulling down, it's pulling down the ruach, the nev, it's trying to make that more physical, and you've got the neshama on the top pulling ruach up, and that's what we call, in other words, a melchemes ha'yitzah. Right? We always have, you know, on one hand we've got our spirituality pulling us one way, on the other hand we've got our physicality pulling us the other way. And you have in the middle, you've got this ruach, or the nave caught in the middle, being pulled both ways. And the job is to try and get to allow the ruach to go up, to become more spiritual, to be affected by not, to be pulled by the nefesh. So it will be, it's on a steer, as they're saying. The nefesh swallow is, the nefesh, as you said, that's really where the desires are all starting from. But where they play out in the nave. That's in the middle, right? They're playing out where you have the desires are pulling you one way. On the other hand, your job is to make your nave, is to break that. That's exactly the job, to break that and to allow your nave to go in the other direction, towards the ruchness. It's actually, fits in actually well. Okay. That's that example he brings of that. And he brings now one more example from Chazal, which again I think Mr. Goffman is going to not be happy with, or yeah, we're going to have difficulty understanding. Another thing, it says by David HaMelech, brings Yerushalmi, brings a pasuk in Shmuel, but his wives were bound till the day of their death, living widows. What does that mean, living widows? Even though he was alive, still they were like, I don't know, it's tight. Well, Chol Yoyim, every day, David Mitzaveh, the hate of his Rishon, and Nesim Samukim, and the Kashman. He would say to get them dressed up and put on their perfumes. Kedei lehotzik letavosei, to the hot stick tavosei, to, I'm not sure exactly how to translate the hot stick, to shepherd his tavos, to stir up his tavos.
To provoke his desire, and then
handle it. And then,
which absolutely forbidden to do.
Oh, right. So, yeah, that's what I knew you were going to say. Why? Laman is coupled with Allah Bishavah. He wanted to atone for the sin of Bishavah. So, a way of doing that was to quash his tailors. So, he was stirred up to quash them. So, first of all, Mr. Goffman is asking, can't do that.
First of all, the whole situation with Bathsheba exactly happened. Why is it happened? When he said test,
right?
So it's all right. Now it seems he don't know nothing from it.
Right.
Just so continue what Hashem tells him. I punish you for this.
And yeah, that's right.
Then you continue
to
do it.
What's going on here?
I don't know.
And the second thing you have to understand also is what's the point exactly of breaking your tyrus? I don't know. The point is not to have the tyrus. I mean, it seems a bit strange to stir them up just to squash them again. I mean, just good. Don't stir them up in the first place. It's just as good. I mean, the point is just the actual battle. That's what you want. Or you want to not have the time.
We have an expression in Russia when teacher in elementary school said to children, "Right now, children, write all dirty words which you never should say." It's the same thing.
Right. So what's going on here? So the truth is. Let's just read these words again.
Somebody probably commented. Probably somebody commented on
this. I have something to say. One thing. Okay, he said, what he says is like this. He did this because he had a hot second tavosai to provoke his taiva, ula hachnia, and to be machnia his taiva, ka'asher yichba shvitzunien. What does that mean? To be machnia his taiva when he is kovish his taiva. What does that mean? Obviously, to be machnia his taiva, he'll subdue his taiva when he subdues it. We have to realize one thing here. We're talking all about here, he's stressing a few times, we're talking about things which are muta. We're not talking about taivas which are awesome.
No, definitely.
Right. So it's already a bit of a Pesach to answer, a bit of a way to answer your question. He's not talking about he put himself in a situation of a sign of things which, if he would fall, he'll be over any issa. He's doing things which are perfectly fine. If he went his own wives, there's nothing wrong if he would have carried on, if he would have submitted to these taivas. Right? So that already answers the first question. So that, you know, how could he put himself in a situation of Nisayan? It's not really Nisayan. Right? Even if he would fall, he wouldn't manage to do what carries through his plan.
Good.
Okay.
You're saying good. Very good.
So what was his point was, I think what Rabbeinu seems to be saying is, L'achnio kasher yichpo yishitzimim. He's saying that every day he would be kovish his yitzah, he would stir, provoke his yitzah, and then he would quash it. It would be by doing that, he would get used, he would train himself not to have his taiva. In other words, at the end of the day, he would be machnia the taiva by.
No. Have taiva and kill it.
Right. Once he's killed it, after he's killed it, there's simply two stages here. After he's gotten used to quashing his taiva, it's a bit, sounds a bit counterintuitive, right? But he's stirring up his taivas, which, as we said, in a way which is muta, and managed to quash them. And the more he gets used to quashing his taivas, that will lead eventually to a situation where he will be totally gone the taivas. When other taivas will come, as we said before, when he said, right? You said that someone is used to quashing a taivas, so when other taivas comes, there will be no problem for him to squash.
Somebody will born without taivas. Hashem not appreciate it. Okay, good.
Right, no, say something else. Okay.
Right now, right. The whole idea to live with taivas, but not be under their control.
Right.
And
yeah,
this
okay.
What he learning.
Yes.
Taivas will come.
Right.
And
I think hold on.
But he trained himself to kill it.
Right. And but the point is to train himself to kill it so that overall he'll end up, his taivas will be more under his control than it would have been under. That's why I think he's saying, if you read it carefully, so the Kadeh also said, well, to be machnia his taivas, kasher yichpo yichimim. By being kovish his yitzah, that will lead to him being machnia his taivas.
Your control means that you have it, but control it. not that you don't have it, don't have nothing to control. You have it, but control.
Right. So yeah, so that's what we see from
here. We still would like to be human beings.
Right, so this was part of his tshuva. Part of his tshuva, this was a way for him to actually end up breaking his tiras. Right, so that, by strengthening him almost, that ends up in the long run, allowed him to break his tiras, which was part of his tshuva on the fetal of Bathsheba.
So finally finished this whole... You explained wonderful.
Okay. Yes, I think there was one more on Monday. So next month.
Whatever, okay.